Everyone, I was practicing that all day. I said, don't say good morning, it's not morning. It's not, yeah. Let me just find something and I'll read something to you. Okay, it's great. Went at our conference last week, and the first time I've ever heard it, it said, turn your Bibles on. Oh, wow, wet was that? It was funny. I mean, 1 John 4, for those of you who want to follow, I'm going from verse 7 to the end. So, hiya. Dear friends, let us love one another, for our love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whatever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son to be Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in God lives in love, lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world. We are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever aims to love God yet hates another or a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. There's a lot in there, isn't there? I can't unpack all that in 20 minutes. It's not happening. But there's one or two bits. It's fine, don't worry. Noise is fine. I live in a house full of noise. It's perfectly fine. I live in a church full of noise as well, actually. It's quite funny in our church. Before I start, I just want to say one or two things about Cap here in Lee. I'm really proud of what you do here in Lee. And I'm proud of the guys that run the show. Ellen and Ali. Where's Ali? She's over there playing the drums. Animal is her new name. No, but I mean, you know, Cap in essence isn't Helen singly, and it isn't Ali singly. It's like Sports Village Church, but these two, and of course, hopefully Dawn, bless her, and I hope she continues in her recovery. But I mean, it's what are you? Oh, and sorry, Laura. How could I forget you, Laura? I'm in big trouble. I meant to. I just forgot. How can I forget you? And Laura, who gets special mention, or else I'm dead. No, but apologies for that, Laura. But do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that it's not on one particular person at all. Cap Lee is Cap Sports Village Church. And we all have some part to play in that. So don't sort of dump it on one, and it's all of you. Just like in Fleetwood, Emmanuel Church isn't Leslie Lettice, who is our centre manager. It's Emmanuel Church in all its phases. To test the guys who went to the conference last week, that includes you, Laura, this time. What was the central theme of last week's conference?
White boxes.
Yeah, I know that. I know it's white boxes.
Just maybe,
yeah. But what was the central thing hope? Of course it was. It was hope. If I said to you, you can't beat the real thing, what would that remind you of? As a product. It's the real... Oh, you said that. Coke. the power of advertising. Now, I want to show you a clip, if we can bring that clip. Now, this is a, before I start, I want to show you this clip. And it's, everyone heard of Adele, the singer Adele. I just thought you'd enjoy this. It's quite funny. And pause it. That's great. Now, what? Tell you what the score is. Has anyone seen this? Yeah. Have you seen it? Yeah, so you'll know. But don't tell the ones who haven't seen it. What they got Adele and they made her up so she didn't look like herself. And they had all these other sort of fake, you know, the Adeles that were doing tribute acts sort of thing. And so they've made her up so that she can go and join these tribute acts. And they're all singing. And just see what happens. Can we have the lights? Can we put lights off? Thanks, Hel. When you see what's real, you sit up and you take notice. That was the point of that. Thought we'd have a bit of fun and watch that. It was great, wasn't it? Enjoy that. It was great. No, it's not. It's not. But you sit up and take notice. I'm going to talk about three words today. And I've got, 20 minutes. So I don't want to overrun. I want to rattle through this. Got a few stories and then we'll take it from there. And the three words are this: find, follow, and fulfill. Find, follow, and fulfill. So find. You've heard that a lot of times, and I had a conversation once with two guys, and one said to the other, "I found Jesus." The other one said, "Why, was he lost?" And they were serious. He was serious. Because if I went and said on the street, "I've found Jesus," generally, they wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. I was with one of my vices. I am a big Man City fan. Those of you who are really blessed, 5-0, top of the league. Yeah, just. But a year ago, he's actually a guy who's a City fan as well. He's married to a lady in our church, and he's not a Christian. She is. She comes to church. He doesn't. And so one of the things that we do as a church, we try and get involved with the things that we enjoy. Just makes sense, doesn't it? So take Jesus with you to go and enjoy something with somebody. So he said to me, "Do you fancy come and watch the game?" I said, "Yeah, of course I do." So I went and watched the game with him. And that sort of, he said, "Well, do you want to come watch the next game?" So I did. I went and watched the next game. And anyway, it just transpired that I wanted to have a relationship with this guy and get to know him a little bit more. And it was a case that we just watched football. Not a big gig for me. It was actually quite enjoyable. But every time I went round, I'd sort of walk round. He's only around the corner. And I say, "Right, okay, God, I'm going. I'm not going to force the issue, but I'm listening. I'm listening and I'm taking you to watch the Mighty Blues." Because that's exactly what I was doing. And the thing was, I'd go and I went for a year. 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call. And he said, "Hi, Dave, it's Paul." He said, "Can I come and see you? I've got something I need to bounce off you." I said, "Well, I'm big enough." So he said, "I want to speak to you." So I came round and he says, there's a Sports Reach. Anybody heard of Sports Reach? A football league, a Christian football league. So there was refereeing at the Sports Reach thing. And I heard this guy, who was 73, talking about his life. And he asked if anybody wanted to have Jesus in their life. And I found myself putting my hands up. Think I've found Jesus. I'm like, really? So he said, "I'd want to sort of know a bit more." So I said, "Great." So I said, "Tell you what we'll do. What we'll do, before we watch the football, we'll have a chat about, what that phrase actually means, that you found Jesus. What does that mean?" And I said, "Do you mind if we sort of talk about that a little bit?" So it's fine. So that's what we're going to be doing. And the thing about it is that when people talk about the real Jesus, they're sort of in two wings of the church, aren't they? Not of the church, but of a particular sort of speak. And some which give a false gospel. There's this wing which says, okay, this Jesus wants to fill you full of joy and love and wonderfulness. And they leave it there. And then they've got the other wing over the other side, and they're usually Scottish. And they'll try and frighten you to death. They'll say, "Hell is a reality. There will be a weeping and a grinding of teeth." And there'll be someone in the audience say, "What happens if you haven't got any teeth?" "Teeth will be provided." But you've got the two, and you've got an element of truth in both of them, but on their own and not the full truth or the full gospel. That God does challenge us. Yes, he does. We've been singing about how God loves us. We've been read about how God loves us. But in the end, we're trying to find who is the real Jesus. Now, I haven't got time to unpack my own story, but part of my own story is the fact that I was a year into my Christian walk and I lost a child at 9 hours. He lived 9 hours. And it was God was saying, right, where are you now, Dave? What are you going to do now? Haven't got time to unpack that. But that, you know, there are times when we hit life and we hit those things which, if we have not found the right Jesus, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. A better sort of word would be an encounter with Jesus. But it didn't begin with F, so it didn't get in. So why did Jesus save me? Was it just to get into heaven? And I don't think the answer's yes. I've got a job to do, and God gives us all a job to do. And there's a difference between finding Jesus for the first time and knowing Jesus as you walk and work out your salvation. It doesn't say work for it, for becoming a Christian. You know, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. But he wants us to work it out. So if we find the right Jesus, then following him is not going to be a problem, but it is going to be a challenge. It will be a challenge. And as I wrote the word follow, I was reminded of the U2 song, I Will Follow. And I thought, I'll look up the words. I just copied the words. It was interesting. I was on the outside when you said you needed me. I was looking at myself. I was blind. I could not see. I thought that was just interesting, just a matter of just making me think. I was blind, but I couldn't see. But now I see. Amazing Grace says, I was once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next line? Next line? Where? As it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth through us. God has got a job for us to do. We have been called to be kingdom builders. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we've all got to have theological seminaries. I had some great chats with a few people in here today. And one of the things that I've realized is the fact that you can do something very, very, what to you would think, I'm trying to use my words wisely, not particularly too dramatic. However, it's massively profound. Let me give you an example of that. A lady who I know very well, one of my CAP clients, and I went to see her, and she wasn't particularly dressed very well, and because her situation was pulling her down. And I went in, she was really nice, she gave me a cup of tea, and I said to her, I said, are you okay? She said, yeah, I'm just really worried. And so we chatted about stuff, and I said to her at the end, I said, right, here's some stuff for you to read. And I gave her, have you seen a little book called Amazing Exchange? Little book that CAP do, and we sort of give people to read, and they can look at the amazing exchanges. Is basically, we get all the best bits of Jesus, and Jesus takes all our rubbish. You know, in essence, to give a simplistic view of the gospel. But this lady, sort of, you know, I'm chatting with, have a read of that, and I'll talk to you next week. I said, but as a church, we're always open. You know, you're always welcome. I just want to give you an open invitation. She says, can I come Sunday? I says, of course you can. Of course you can. And she says, well, I can't get there this, how can I get there Sunday? I says, I've no transport. I said, well, I'll pick you up. So I went and picked her up. And she still didn't look wonderfully, you know, because sometimes people, when they're going through stuff, they don't look after themselves because there's something going on inside, isn't there? There's stuff going on inside. Anyway, I took her to church, and praise God for the people in church. You know, praise God for people like you, that when a stranger comes through the door, what can you do? Tell me what you can do. Tell me, I want to know, right, I'll give you a scenario. You are totally shy. You're not good at speaking to people. You see a complete stranger. I'm a complete stranger, and I come through the door. What can you do to me? Smile, of course you can. Smile. Anyway, this lady came through the door, and anyway, she was greeted. Hello. Oh, you're not with him, are you? That's what I got. And they said, yes, what's your name? Margaret. Come in. Someone chatted with her, got her a drink, got her, you know, felt completely immersed. And I've had a chat with a few of you here, and I know that's what goes on here, and I know that's how you feel. That is precious. Guard it with everything that you've got, because it's so wonderful. Because some of this stuff we've been singing about and we've read about is here already. So be encouraged with that. But anyway, she got a cake and said to her next week, I said, how was it? She said, David, it was wonderful. And she got saved and she carried on. And I said, I'll take you for a few weeks. And she found a pal in the church and lived near her and took her. She's been in the church over 10 years now. About a few years ago, I went back. And I saw her, because I always see her, because she always says, what are you doing here? Because we're part of a church plant, so we only meet with the main church every so often. What are you doing here? I said, come see you, Margaret. So I said to her this question. I said, Margaret, can you tell me why you stuck at it? Why did you stick at going to church? Why did you stick at wanting to grow? And no disrespect to her. She's not a massively intelligent lady. Very simple lady, in the right sense of the word simple. And I said to her, why did you go? And she said this. She said, A, someone smiled at me. B, someone talked to me. C, I know they love me. And I don't know much, but I know God loves me. And I love being here. And do you know what? She wasn't half smart. She wasn't half smart. And she'd always been smart every time I've seen her. Because the inside wasn't ugly anymore. The outside was beautiful. And still is. We have a right laugh. It's great. I've noticed actually in your blurb on the net, I've noticed part of you, it says, please come on a Sunday afternoon where you can have a laugh. Very powerful humour. Humour's very powerful. But when God saves us, he sends us on a difficult mission, because there are all sorts of people in difficult situations, and sometimes their behaviour will overspill. You know, I said we go to discovery breaks, and I was talking to one or two about that over dinner. And I said, in the first few sort of, you know, hours, people are massively scared. They don't know what's coming. They don't know. They're with a complete group of strangers. You just imagine going on holiday and you're sharing a hall with a group of complete strangers. Just on your level. Now, just imagine if you're a bit battered and a bit bruised and you do that as well. And I said, listen, I don't care if you're insulted. You just don't do anything. Just show them to the rooms. Make sure you show them to the beds. Make sure they see the chocolate on the beds. It's all right. It's not personal. And just remember that with hurting people. It's not personal. It never is. So be the one who loves God, who loves them. We know this, that we abide in him and he knows, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son of the Saviour in the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him or her, and he or her abides in God. It's mission difficult. I love mission. Anyone seen the films Mission Impossible? It's great, isn't it? I love the bit where he says to the guy, Tom Cruise says to him, so it's difficult. What's that, Mr. Helps? That's it's all right. This is Mission Impossible. Difficult is a walk in the park. Okay. But he wants to do stuff in us too. In the difficult stuff he asks us to do, and believe me, he will ask us to do difficult stuff. He will ask us, again, I've talked with one or two of you, about pushing through. The little times where God has said, right, I can't get you there yet, that's too far, but I can get you from there to there. I can take you on a little mission. I can take you there. So when you get there, you're encouraged and you're ready to go and do some more. But it's going to be difficult. And you're going to meet difficult people. And God's going to challenge you. And why is he going to challenge you? Because he wants to do this stuff in you. He wants to build in fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, patience. How does he do that? Well, he's got to put us through the ringer first. How do I understand what long-suffering is unless I suffer long? I haven't a clue. And that's where, going back to what I was saying about when I lost my kid, God gave me that. I didn't like it. I'm not a masochist. No, I didn't like it at all. It was horrendous. But I understood, because I have a close relationship with God and I want to talk to him. And if I have a rate, I'll cry with him, I'll laugh with him, I'll do all sorts of stuff with him. And he talks to me about stuff. He's told me off plenty of times. I'm not surprised. But follow. If we follow him, then he does that stuff in us. And then, and again, I want you to keep thinking of that Adele clip. He starts to do the stuff in us that maybe other people can see him in us. That's the point. The difficult stuff that happens in us, all of a sudden God's, why are you different? One of the first things he actually took away from me, I swore like anything before I got saved. The first thing he took away was he dealt with this immediately. There's other stuff he's dealing with, believe me. I'm a work in progress like we all are. But... And the thing, and I love films, and what time do we finish? 6, right, okay, 5 minutes. Blimey, it's gone. But there was a film called Seabiscuit about getting a horse back to where it was. It couldn't race anymore. And they had this conversation with a guy, and the guy says, he said this, he said, will he race again? No. Well, why do you do it? Why do you fix him? He said, because I can. And then he said this. He said, you don't throw a life away, a whole life away, just because it's been beaten up a bit. And that's God all over. He doesn't throw anyone away. He believes in you. And let me give you a quote. This is my mate said this to me. My mate said to me, and everyone thinks, I'm not good enough. Right, this is for I'm not good enough brigade here in this room. Okay, God does sometimes call the qualified. But I'll tell you this, he always qualifies those who he calls. Remember that with every fibre of your being. Because if he's got a job for you to do, he'll give you the tools. Remember, again, changing. Always changing so people are seeing the changes in you. Okay. And the stuff will happen to you. I mean, that song as well, just wrote the words down. When the rain's blowing in your face and the whole world's on your case... I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. Those were the words. And I just thought they were great. So find, follow, fulfill. Skipping bits. Keep walking, keep being willing to grow, keep reading, keep listening. But do the stuff yourself. Don't rely on church just. Don't just rely on Sunday afternoon Sports Village Church to feed you. Feed yourself. Is that all right? You can say that. Got the boss here. Or the bosses. But you see what I mean? It's the individual time with the Lord where you will grow. Not necessarily the most, but you will have a massive effect. Oh, bless you, Mother. I'll take it off you. I'll hold it. It looks posh. Okay. I mean, it was funny last week. We went to... When we went to the conference, we came out, we had a meal one night, and we came out, and a mate of mine, Peter Clark, had a brew with him after. And he says, the Scouser, he says, hey, mate, he says, I had a great thing going on. He says, I went past this bloke, he was homeless, and he said, I just talked to him, and I talked to him about the Lord, and I led him to the Lord. I walked past him. And that pulled me up immediately. I thought, I walked past him. Really, God was doing stuff there. And that's God rebuking me. I can take it. It's fine. But it was funny. He says, if you remember nothing else, mate, just me, when you got the book of the line, the angel's there, and he said, yeah, you in. Just say, don't worry about it. I know him. Which was great. Yeah. Okay. Anybody seen a film called Coach Carter? It's a great film. Go watch it. That's your homework. Go and watch it. And He said it was they'd lost the end game. And he said, well, you know, the fairy tale wasn't really for us. But he said this. He said, you played like champions. You never gave up. And he said, champions hold their heads high. And it's almost like that's the speech that God would give you. Champions hold your head up high. Because he's championing you. He wants to work in you. He wants to work in me. Why? In this context for Sports Village Church, for the next stranger that walks through that door and sees you smiling at them and saying, hello, come in, have the wonderful potatoes and everything else. That's yeah. Okay. I'm going to finish one story. I've got 2 minutes. I can tell you a story, can't I? Can I have 2 minutes? Right, it's my favourite story. 1 John 4:18 said, there's no fear in love, greater love has no fear. And that was supposed to be read at a wedding. And one of the things that happened, he got the wrong book. He didn't read from 1 John, he read from John, which says, this is at a wedding. It says, you've had four husbands. And the one that you've got now is not your husband. I'd love to have been there. That's just cool. But as a preacher, it's not my story this, but it's a story that really influenced me early on in my Christian life. And he was talking about the commission of Christ. And he was saying he was on Honolulu, he went to Honolulu on mission. And it was because of the time that it was 3 a.m. So he went and said, I wanted a cup of coffee. So I went in his cafe and said, I had a cup of coffee and a donut. So I said, just fine. So I had this. And then all of a sudden, three girls came in, 3 a.m. You can imagine what their trade was. So they come in and said, the one said, it's my birthday tomorrow. The one went, so what? He said, well, I'm just telling you. I've never had a birthday. Just telling you. Anyway, they went, and this guy said to the cafe owner, he says, hey, what's that girl called? He says, oh, she's called Agnes. He said, hey, how about you and me throw a birthday party for her tomorrow at 3 a.m.? They come in every night at 3 a.m. Yeah, they come in every night at 3 a.m. So how about we throw a party for them? He said, that's a terrific idea. And shouted to his wife. His wife came out and got his hands and squeezed it. So it got to the following. And he says, what he did, I was MC. So I got there at like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I decorated the place with balloons and streamers and everything. And he said, lots of people started to come in. And he said, there was every whore in Honolulu in this cafe. He said, there was like 40 whores. And me. He said it was kind of strange and wonderful. And then what happened is that these three girls came in. And I was like MC. And they said, happy birthday, Agnes. And he said, she just stood there and rocked. And just wide opened and looked at everybody. And looked at this cake. And tears started rolling down her eyes. And so he said, blow out the candles. She didn't move. He said, blow out the candles. If you don't blow out the candles, I'll blow out the candles. Anyway, he blew out the candles. He said, right, cake, we'll have cake, let's cook cake. So he said, at that point she spoke, she said, oh, please don't touch my cake. Please don't touch my cake. I only live 2 blocks away. Can I just take it home and just look at it for a couple of days? Sure. So she took this cake. I'll be back soon. So she took that, and there's an eerie silence. And he said, the thing just came just quite naturally. He says, let's pray. So he prayed for all these girls, and he prayed for that they would see God, the real God, and that they would be all sorts of stuff. Anyway, they had a great night. They all went home. And the cafe owner said, hey, you never told me you were a preacher, man. He said, what kind of church do you go to? And he said, just at that point, I had just the right words to say. Well, I go to a church that organises birthday parties for whores at 3 a.m. And he said, don't put me on. I would love to join a church like that. And the fact is, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all? Because if that stuff makes us, then we need to know, have we found the right Jesus? Are we following the right Jesus? And do we fulfill what Jesus is wanting to do with us, with others, our neighbours, our workmates, our friends, our schoolmates, and whoever he's got for us to do. Finished. Get stuck in. Just get stuck in. I know these guys will have you any day of the week. Is it going to be difficult? Yeah. Are you going to see difficult people? Yeah. You will. But will God equip you? Yeah, you're damn right. And you will grow. You will grow. He will bless you. And the joy, as we've been speaking, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Thank you.